Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for connecting to KTK presentation of consolidated IFRS financial statements for the second quarter and six months 2011. I think that we will skip the introductory part about our company and long-term strategy. You will be able to see if you will download the presentation, if you don't already have it. We plan to focus on operational and financial results. For this purpose, now I yield the floor to Eduard Alexenko, the first Deputy CEO of KTK, who will be speaking about our operational and financial results for second quarter and six months of 2011. Eduard.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start with operational results, and then I will make a brief review of our financials. After it, I will speak about our view on the next quarter. Let's start. Slide nine, operational highlights. In the second quarter 2011, the volume of coal production increased by 4% quarter-on-quarter and amounting to 1.9 million tons. During the first six months of the year, the company increased its coal production volume about 37% year-on-year to 3.7 million tons. The volume of coal sorting increased by 16% quarter-on-quarter to 1.4 million tons. As for six months 2011, the volume of coal sorting increased by 42% year-on-year to 2.5 million tons. When compared to the first quarter, the volume of enriched coal production increased by 24% and reached a quarter million tons. During six months 2011, the volume of Cascade enrichment plant production increased up to 0.35 million tons. Due to the traditional decrease in trading activity on the Russian thermal coal market, during the second quarter, the volume of coal sales decreased by 14% quarter-on-quarter to 2.1 million tons. Six months coal sales increased by 28% year-on-year to 4.5 million tons. In the second quarter, the average price of coal increased by 6% quarter-on-quarter to $42 per ton. The six months 2011, the average price amounted to $41 per ton, exceeding the level of six months 2010 by 35%. The quarterly average stripping ratio increased by 8% quarter-on-quarter to 8.7 cubic meters per ton of coal. Exported rock volume increased by 2%, and the average quarterly stripping transportation distance expanded by 9% quarter-on-quarter to 2.8 kilometers. The increase of these figures resulted in the growth of our production cash cost per ton by 9% to 688 rubles or $25 per ton of coal.
Okay, now we will turn to the next slide and speak about coal sales breakdown. During the first six months 2011, the company has sold 4.5 million tons of coal, of which 3.6 million was the company's own coal, and the remaining 900,000 tons have been purchased from third parties and then resold generally through our retail chain. On the domestic market, we have sold 1.4 million tons, of which about 1 million tons has been sold in Eastern Siberia. During the first half of the year, we have exported 3.1 million tons of coal, and our main customer has been still located in Poland, where we have sold 1.6 million tons of coal, and China and South Korea, where we have sold 1.4 million tons. Generally, export share amounted to about 68% of all our half-year volume of sales. Then Slide 11.
During the first 6 months, 2011, the company has sold 40.5 million tons of coal, of which 3.6 million was the company's own coal, and the remaining 900,000 tons have been purchased. I'm sorry, slide 11. In the second quarter, the average export price on the European direction increased by 9% and reached $101 per ton, and the price on the eastern direction reduced by 3% to $77 per ton. The quarter average Asian price decreased due to high volume of shipments under the contracts concluded in the end of 2010 and price lower than spot contracts concluded in the first half of 2011. The average domestic price on ACA base increased by 13% to $42 per ton due to stable high price on the market and the growth of sorted coal product sales. The growth in the ruble terms was 9%.
Now we are turning to slide 12, sales distribution and transportation costs. During the second quarter, the tariffs and railroad car arrangement rates have been stable for us. And in the first half of the year, average transport cost to Poland equals about $52, including $10 paid for transit through the territory of Ukraine or Belarus. The cost of transporting coal to Russian Far Eastern ports amounted to $42 per ton. And as I have already said before, during the 6 months we sold 1.4 million tons to Asia and 1.7 million tons to Eastern European countries, mainly Poland. During the first half of the year, our sales on domestic markets were split by the following territories. In Siberian Federal District, we sold about 1.3 million tons of coal, including retail sales and shipments to energy generating companies, and about 90,000 tons were sold to Ural Federal District, 30,000 tons were sold to Volga neighboring territories, 20,000 have gone to Northwest Federal District and about 10,000 to the territories of Central Federal District. And now we will turn to our financial reviews, and Eduard will speak briefly about all the financials, including revenue, production cash cost, cost of sales, and debt.
Due to the seasonal decrease in coal sales volumes on the domestic market, quarterly revenue decreased by 6% to 4.9 billion rubles. 6 months revenue amounted about 10 billion rubles, a growth of 80% year on year. The decline in revenue combined with an increase in cost of sales due to an increase in the second quarter stripping ratio resulted in a quarterly EBITDA decrease of 45% to 522 million rubles. 6 months EBITDA increased by three times to 1.5 billion rubles. Net profit in the second quarter decreased by 26% quarter and quarter and amounting 200 million rubles. During 6 months, the company earned about 800 million rubles of net profit compared to 4 million rubles for 6 months, 2011. Net debt as at 30th June 2011 amounted to 2 billion rubles, having increased by 26% from its level in the first quarter. Compared to the same indicator last year, net debt decreased by 23%. During the quarter, in the net debt to EBITDA ratio remained stable at 0.7. Slide 15, revenue. As I have already said, water revenue amounted to 4.9 billion rubles, or $176 million, due to the growth of external sales export revenue increased by 17% to 4.2 billion rubles. Conversely, revenue on the domestic market reduced because of a seasonal decrease in sales. Revenue from own coal sales decreased by 67% to 347 million rubles, and coal resale revenue reduced by 60% to 284 million rubles. Slide 16, production cash costs. In the second quarter 2011, the company's production cash cost increased by 9% to 688 rubles or $25 per ton. Our cash costs were generally driven by the quarterly growth of the stripping ratio from 8 to 8.7 cubic meters per ton. The increase of the stripping ratio related to the growth of stripping processing volume by 13%, while the production growth composed only 4%. This happened because the company needed to do a large volume of stripping work to prepare some coal seams for extraction in the second half of the year, when the demand for coal in Russia strongly increases. Besides the change of stripping volume, production cash costs were also driven by the cost of spare parts, repair work and technical maintenance services per ton of coal, which increased by 36% due to a big volume of plant and annual repair work made in the second quarter. During the quarter, there was a slight decrease in production personnel cost per one ton of coal, and fuel cost remained stable at the level of the first quarter. The total volume of production cash cost increased by 14% and amounted to 1.3 billion rubles. At the same time, production costs per one cubic meter of stripping were virtually stable in the level of the first quarter and were 479 rubles. Slide 17, cost of sales. Production cash cost composed 31% of consolidated cost of sales in the second quarter. Total cost of sales increased by 4% to 4.3 billion rubles or $153 million. Transport costs occupied 56% of total cost. During the quarter, they increased by 7% following the growth of export volumes. Due to the reduction in third-party coal sales, the cost of purchased coal decreased by 24% quarter-on-quarter. The sum of the cost increased by about 3%. Now let's turn to indebtedness. In the second quarter, total debt of the company increased by 8% to 2.2 billion rubles due to attraction of additional short-term loans for working capital financing. As for the 15th June 2011, 72% of the credit portfolio of the company were denominated in US dollars and the remaining 28% were denominated in rubles. A share of short-term loans composed only 15% of our total credit portfolio. And the quarterly interest expense increased by 15% to 45 million rubles, but the average interest rate reduced from 7.4% to 5.8% owing to a restructuring of foreign currency part of our indebtedness. And now Eduard will speak briefly about our outlook for the first quarter and the potential volume of coal production which can be done in the next quarter.
Due to the increase in trading activity on the Russian thermal coal market, which started in the end of summer, we have already increased coal production and sale volume on the domestic market.
According to our forecast, the general growth in production may be in the range of 25%-27% quarter-on-quarter and 28%-30% year-on-year. We expect that the growth of production will be followed by decrease in production cash cost per 1 ton of coal, which is expected to have peaked in the second quarter 2011. This trend may positively affect our operational profit. Based on the expected decrease in stripping ratio and reduced reduction in production cash cost, we expect a quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year increase in the third quarter EBITDA. We are retaining our expectation of our main profit indicator growth in the second half of the year due to the growth in production and sales and decrease in cash cost per ton of coal compared to the level of the first half of 2011.
It was our brief presentation of operational and financial results for the second quarter and six months 2011. Now I think we will start Q&A questions to speak about the things which you are interested in and answer your questions. I'll ask operator to start Q&A session, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the web participants may submit a question by typing it in the Ask a Question box and clicking Submit. Telephone participants can ask a question by pressing star followed by one on their telephone keypad. I repeat, web questions can be asked by typing it in the Ask a Question box and clicking Submit. Telephone participants can ask a question by pressing star one on their telephone keypad. The first telephone question comes from the line of Dmitry Smolin from Uranship Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation and the conference call. Three questions from my side, if I may. First, given the 25% increase in your coal volumes in the third quarter, do you see any upside risk to your full year production guidance of 8.1 million tons of steam coal? Do you think that it can be increased this year? On the EBITDA guidance, last time in July, you provided full year EBITDA guidance of $120 million. Do you see any changes here? Last question on outlook for steam coal, thermal coal prices in the second half of 2011. Do you see any correction in spot thermal coal price or any slowdown in demand on the back of some turbulence, some uncertainty in the financial markets and possible slowdown in world GDP? Thank you very much.
Hello, Dmitry. Many thanks for your questions. All of them are understandable. We will just have 1 minute of discussion and then return to you. Thanks. Eduard will speak Russian now, and I will translate briefly after him for all English speakers who are listening.
По итогам второго квартала мы изменили ожидаемые добычи до 8.1 миллиона тонн. На сегодняшний день мы планируем действительно добыть порядка 8.5-8.6 миллионов тонн. Но данное увеличение объемов добычи по большой степени не приведет к увеличению доходности компании показателей EBITDA, так как мы планируем в связи с технологией нам необходимо добыть и реализовать уголь окисленных марок. А данные марки мы практически реализуем без доходности. Поэтому, да, объемы добычи увеличатся, но доходности и прогнозы, сразу на второй вопрос отвечу, мы не увеличиваем, это как и ранее было, 120-125 миллионов долларов.
Just a brief translation of the first and the second question. Yes, you are absolutely right that there is an upside. We think that there will be upside of our production volume for 2011. We think that it could be in the range of 8.5-8.6 million tons compared with 8.1 million tons which was presented as our forecast when we reported the results of first quarter 2011. But there is a it's worth of note that this additional coal will be mainly oxidized coal type. And it means that we will be selling it basically without any margin. So it should not critically influence on our financials. So we don't think that there will be some certain upside for this additional upside on EBITDA on this additional call. And answering your second question, we think that the level of EBITDA about $120 million in 2011 is something that will be reasonable for this year. And now Eduard will answer on your third question about current spot prices on the market.
На сегодняшний день цены на уголь, нельзя сказать, что сегодняшние цены на уголь отреагировали на какую-то волатильность сегодняшних рынков. Цены на уголь снижались на протяжении мая, июня, июля и августа. Но так как наши контракты были подписаны ранее, в первом и втором квартале, то на сегодняшний день мы не контрактуемся, а отгружаем уголь по ранее подписанным контрактам. Но нельзя сказать, что на сегодняшний день есть позитивная динамика и позитивные ожидания по росту в ближайшее время. Это может быть в четвертом квартале, когда будет происходить контрактование объемов 2012 года.
Дмитрий, as for the current spot prices, we do not see the current certain turbulence on the spot coal market, which influences spot coal prices. There was a slight decrease in market prices globally, which was actually it was seen in May, June, July, August, but as particularly all volume of our spot contracts was contracted in first half, in first quarter, and in the second quarter we don't feel any dependence and any influence from this slight decrease. Now, currently, the spot prices are also not very optimistic forecast on the short-term price dynamic on the coal market. But we think that to the end of the year, in the fourth quarter, when the new contracting season between large buyers and sellers of coal will start, we await that there will be a certain support for global thermal coal prices. Thank you for your question with me. I think that we answered it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The next telephone question comes from the line of Michael Stiskin from Troika. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello guys. One small question for me, if I may. Can you give us a sense of the expected sweeping ratios in the third and fourth quarter, and also your outlook for your cash costs on a per ton basis? Thank you.
Thank you, Mikhail.
Ну, в что касается коэффициентов крыши, то второй квартал это 7,3 и четвертый квартал 7,1. Соответственно, это приведет к снижению кэш-костов. Насколько? Ну, порядка 10-15%.
Excellent, thank you.
As for production cash cost guidance for the full year, we are still retaining the view that it will be around $22 per ton, as we have already told on our last conference call devoted to first quarter results.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mikhail.
The next telephone question comes from line of Vladimir Sergievsky from Finam in Moscow. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you very much for the presentation and congratulations on the very healthy results. Actually, most of my questions have already been asked. There's only one left, and it will be on future prices. As it well shown on your slide 11, there is a gap between your FOB prices and the international benchmark you have used here. And this gap widened quite significantly in recent quarters. So could we assume, based on this, that you could have quite a healthy upside if nothing is changed while signing a contract for the full year 2012? And if it is possible, could you somehow quantify this potential upside, if any? Thanks.
Okay, Vladimir, thank you. Did I understood you correctly that you are talking about our average realized prices on Asian market, which are compared with FOB Indonesia?
Both Asian markets and European markets.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Just a brief translation to Eduard and we will be back here.
Ну, я на самом деле не совсем согласен, что у нас есть какой-то гэп между индексами и нашими ценами. То, что представлено на слайде 11, показано, что наши цены указаны либо CPT, либо DAP, а цены, представленные на данном графике, которые индексные цены, это все цены FOB. Поэтому к нашим ценам необходимо добавлять $10-15. Кроме того, CIFAR это 6000 калорий, а мы продаем уголь на базе 5500. Поэтому, естественно, как полное совпадение цен не может быть, они могут быть отличаться как в верхнюю, так и в нижнюю сторону. Ну а что касается цен на следующий год, то, к сожалению, сейчас рано говорить с учетом первого вопроса, что на сегодняшний день происходит на мировых рынках. Это может в том числе отразиться на цены на ресурсы.
A brief translation for all English speakers. Eduard, maybe Eduard is not fully agree with that, with the origin of this gap. Actually, we are comparing here our FOB, our CPT and VAF prices with FOB and the CIF benchmarks. And it means that you should add at least $10-15 to receive the comparable figure, at least. And as for CIFR, which we are comparing our Western export prices, it is based on
1,000 kilocalories per kilogram calorific value, and we are shipping about 5,300 kilocalories per kilogram on that market. It means that a certain discount should be applied to this coal, to our coal. And answering the second part of your question about potential upside of the new contract prices, it is hard to say just now about what quantitative the upside may be because of the current situation with overall world financial markets, and Eduard thinks that there is a risk that it can also influence the prices on coal till the end of the year. But we will see it a little bit later in the end of when we will be talking about 9 months results, we think that we will already have some base for discussion and some preliminary maybe contracts or understanding of overall sentiment of the market. That's why we think that in the end of November it will be the right time to talk about the new prices for 2012.
Okay, very clear. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's a follow-up question from the line of Michael Smithkin from Troika. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello guys. A follow-up question for me. I mean, you have upgraded your guidance for this year in terms of production as a result of greater output of oxidized coal. I'm just wondering if you are going to increase your production guidance for next year, which currently stands at 8.7 million tons. Thank you.
Thank you, Миша.
На сегодняшний день мы не меняем прогнозы по следующему году. Это объемы добычи в следующем году будут от 8,7 до 9 миллионов в 2012 году.
So we currently do not change our guidance for the next year, but we think that it will surely be in the range of 8.7 to 9 million of tons. Mikhail?
My apologies, sir, but this line got disconnected.
Okay, I think that we answered his question, and we can turn to the questions of another participant, if there are any.
Okay. Not for now, so I'll repeat it. Star 1 to register your question by telephone, and you can enter your question in the Ask a Question box via the web and by clicking Submit. So once again, ladies and gentlemen on the phone, that's star 1 to register your question. So we appear to have no further questions, so I hand the conference back to you.
I think that if there are no questions outstanding... I see one question in the web. One moment, please. There is one question of Mikhail Seriznev, which is that we are currently using cash, so we have we had negative net cash outflow during the second quarter, and he's interested when actually we will have positive cash flow, and Eduard will now answer this question.
Отток денежных средств в первом полугодии был связан прежде всего с направлением денежных средств на инвестиции. За первое полугодие было приобретено все горно-транспортное оборудование. Также средства были направлены на строительство второй обогатительной фабрики. Что касается положительного притока, то на конец года мы не планируем увеличивать свой долг, он останется на уровне 1 января 2011 года.
So we actually while we while we are seeing the negative flow or net negative flow of cash in the first half of this year is because in the first half we spend much money on our CapEx program, including purchasing equipment and investing money in construction of our second enrichment plant, and we don't think that there will be the comparable volume of CapEx in the second half of this year. And we also do not think that we will need more money to be attracted through debt to finance our operational our operations. So we think that in the second half of this year we will have positive net cash flow.
И кроме того, существенную роль сыграло привлечение краткосрочного финансирования, что необходимо было в связи со снижением активности на внутреннем рынке по приобретению угля, тем самым финансирование остатков на складах нашей дистрибьюторской сети.
So there were also dividends. So we also attracted additional volume of short-term debt capital in the second quarter because there was a decrease in trading activities in our retail chain, and that's why we need some more money to finance our working capital and our operations. And we also paid dividends to our shareholders. And there will be no such outflow in the second half of the year. That's why we think that we will get positive net cash flow in the second half of this year.
$10 million было заплачено дивидендов в первом полугодии.
So there was about $10 million outflow for dividend distributions. So I think that we answered your question, Mikhail, and if there are no questions outstanding, we'd like to thank all the participants for listening to us and asking the questions. We had a pleasure for answering them and presenting our results to you, and we will be happy to hear you on our next conference call, which will be held in the end of November to present our 9-month FRS results. Thank you very much and bye-bye.